2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
The NBA Daily Dispatch, brought to you by the good folks over at DFSArmor.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so by using the promo code PODCAST. That'll get 20% off each month of your subscription. That comes out to $20. I've been saying it wrong the last couple days, but $20 a month. With that subscription, you get 24/7 access to the best DFS Slack chat in the business, where you can chat with all of our coaches, pros, and like-minded players. Boomer's Ballers Cheat Sheet, which updates you on the position each day and the top plays you need to know. Updated Projections, which go through 1,000 simulations each day to get the pure accuracy. And, of course, the Domination Station, which creates up to 150 lineups in one shot for you. It's especially great for all you 9-to-5ers that don't have time to do research throughout the day. Once again, go to DFSArmor.com, use the promo code PODCAST, and join us. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. You can find Keith Hall, who's always joining us. You can find him on Twitter at BoomersDFSDaddy. So, Keith, I told you before, you know, we hit the record button on this shindig, but I started my baseball research already, and I feel like I could step on the diamond right now. I'm ready. I'm ready, my friend.
Oh, dude, I've been ready for a month. It was about the time that, you know, we got hit every single day for a week with some sort of news, and they were a main that we had no idea about, and they were a main part of our, you know, core plays for the Army. That was a bad week, by the way. Rebounded nicely, and we've, you know, made everything a lot better. But I've been ready since then. I apologize right now if anybody can hear the stinking stupid lawn guys outside. They are deciding that they choose now to actually do their yard work. So that's kind of – it's not something that is usually going to be going on. So at least I hope not.
Well, hey, the grass needs to be cut. You don't want to be walking around in Jurassic Park out there in Oklahoma. You ever had that with a lawn where it's like up to your shins and knees?
When it rains for 2 weeks constantly and you can't get to it.
It's a terrible situation, one that I would not wish on my worst enemy. So, all right, so we've got the baseball kicking off on Sunday. Just a reminder, not going to have any material for you on Sunday. Only a 3-game slate, so, you know, we'll be working hard. And then Monday we're full on action with it. I believe we're going to record the podcast Sunday night so that the people have it, later in the day there, on Sunday even, and then especially for Monday morning, because I believe first pitch is at 1:05 Eastern time. So, you know, definitely going to need all that. Very, very exciting times last night. We actually had a sweat going on between two of our members, K Marciano, Fight On, guys like that were, you know, I believe they had the same exact lineup that they used in the Domination Station in the big DraftKings JPP last night. No, I don't remember how much they walked away with last night, but I believe it was 4 figures. So congrats to them.
Yeah, Fidon's been somebody that's argued with me constantly for the last year and a half, more so in baseball than in basketball, but he's a good guy. The Marciano dude is, I think he's a newer member, if I'm not mistaken. It's getting very, very hard to, and I don't say this like I don't remember who everybody is, but
More members.
Yeah. When their names pop up for a year, year and a half, like Fidon's has, you kind of remember him. When they come in, and unless they have like a big booty avatar, like one of the new guys does or did, they're very, very difficult to remember the names and the conversations that you have with them until they're there for a while. So, congrats to them. I went straight YOLO last night, and got all the way up to 10th, and then Kevin Love decided to foul out. And yes, that about did it. And then Devin Booker decided to foul out because I had another lineup that was moving up really quickly too, and it had Lou Williams, Devin Booker, and Damian Lillard going. And Devin Booker decided to foul out with like 8 minutes left to go too. So not something that you can predict usually. Well, not usually. Not something you could ever predict. But that was just kind of the basis of my evening. So, but it was still a good night. Still a good night. A lot of fun. It's gonna be one of those nights tonight, brother. So I'm already trying to find ways to narrow this slate down, and I think I have found a couple that we can share with the folks. So let's get going. Let's get after it.
And hey, just one more announcement to our fearless leader, Kevin, actually wants to get some of you, Wall of Wins people here on the podcast with us for a segment. We'll talk about, how you came into the lineup.
I'm in complete and 100% disagreement with us.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
But if you guys have had some big wins, just reach out to me and Keith. When would be a good time? Have you on. We'll talk about, all the glory that went down and, what went into it. So I think that'd be cool for the people that actually won and a lot of our members here too to, maybe pick up on some of the tips that these guys have had and, have some success with it themselves.
Yeah, and we're talking big wins, guys, not like $100. No offense. We're so proud of you for winning $100. Like, we take all these wins very, 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 I don't want to say personally because it's not like we're getting the money in our pockets, but like we love all the wins. We really do. But, if it's got to be one of those big, big ones, not necessarily like, $55,000 or anything like that, but it's got to be a pretty significant amount.
Yeah, I mean, if you take down 100 men, you can host your own podcast, if you want to do that. That'd be fun. Anywho, let's get to it. We have got 11 games on tonight's schedule, but let us begin in Charlotte for this one, where the Denver Nuggets come trolling into town. Hornets, though, 1.5-point favorites here, -120 on the money line with a total of 220. And a half in this one. These two teams played earlier this season. The Hornets won by 10 in Denver. The last five Hornets-Nuggets games have actually gone under the total. We got a couple of injury notes here, too. Daryl Arthur is going to be out for the Nuggets, but Will Barton and Mason Plumlee are both going to play in this game.
So they say.
For the Hornets, Ramon Sessions questionable with the knee injury, still trying to make that comeback. So I had something written up for, if Plumlee sits and if Barton sits. I've seen that they're going to play. They're going to try to give it a go. But let's see. If Mason Plumlee is limited in any way, that's going to give Nikola Jokic, a crack all to himself at this Hornets front line. I enjoy situations like that for him. And, if Will Barton doesn't play or is limited in any way, that'll surely put Gary Harris over 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's one of the ways to do it. If Mason Plumlee and Will Barton do play, I'm out. Like, I'm completely out on everybody. They're overpriced, especially the guards. Now, you could possibly talk me into a little bit, maybe of some Wilson Chandler, maybe some Danilo Gallinari, but they're too expensive. I mean, yes, Nikola Jokic is 9,100. That's going to be very enticing. But let's not forget that when Danilo Gallinari and Will Barton and Mason Plumlee, they're all playing, he might play 23 minutes because of foul trouble, or he might play 33 minutes. But the offense still doesn't run through him. With all these guys healthy and active, he's just too expensive for me to really, really, really go there. Now, if we get news that somebody's out, whether that be Mason Plumlee, whether that be Gallinari, whether that be, you know, wow.
Yeah. That's that new microphone pickup right there.
I just figured that was Tinkerbell telling me to shut the hell up. But anyways, yeah, with all these guys active, they're just too expensive for me.
Yeah, and look, we talk about this a lot, especially when Danilo Gallinari's out. He takes a lot of food off the plate, a lot of these Nuggets players. Again, you know, this is one of the higher totals of the night here at 220.5, but doesn't mean you have to like it. I have a point. I guess we'll look ahead real quick, but I make a point where, you know, Mike Conley put up close to 60 fantasy points in the lowest total game of the night on Wednesday. So, you know, you're never too sure how things are going to work out, but you're absolutely right. You know, this whole Nuggets situation just is a big blah right now, not knowing the status of some of these guys before tip-off. Let's talk about the Hornets in this one. As I wrote in today's article, Kemba Walker is a point guard. Kemba Walker is a point guard going up against the Nuggets. You know, look, we all know what to do against the Nuggets by now, especially with opposing point guards. It's going to be, you know, one of the best matchups on the board. I'm sure Kemba is going to be highly owned. He did post 46 DraftKings, 42.8 FanDuel points against Denver earlier this month. If you want to get a little contrarian, though, not a bad idea to go to Batum. You know, he hasn't been in top form lately, but look, we can attack Denver with not only the point guard, but the shooting guard as well.
Yeah, point guards and shooting guards, both the best matchup in the NBA, the Denver Nuggets. We attack. And we attack with extreme prejudice. I'm normally a guy that I'm all for, you know, being contrarian, trying to be different and everything. And, you know, I'm a guy that's on record on this podcast, on this very show, that said Kemba Walker has no upside currently the way he is playing at 8,000 or above. I neglected to know that he was facing the Denver Nuggets anytime soon when I made that statement. But yeah, I mean, come on, look, you can. Is it safe to say that Denver is a better matchup than Phoenix?
Sure.
A full point better over the course of the season, actually. And a full 5 points better over the course, or sorry, full 8 points better over the course of the last five games. Yeah, he's got upside in this matchup. I don't think he's going to shoot 7 for 25 from the field again. But if he takes 25 shots at 8,000 and gets me more than two assists and just shoots, you know, 40%. Yeah, this could be a very good thing. I mean, look, both these teams have to play. They have to win in order to keep their playoff hopes alive. It's not a secret. So why don't we just keep attacking, you know, playoff teams or, you know, people that are fighting and actually give a shit? Charlotte is they're if Charlotte loses tonight, they're done. You can pretty much just count their season done. Denver is now a game and a half back of Portland. And with Portland's win last night over Houston, then, you know.
Deep doo-doo.
Yeah. Denver needs to win in order to keep their playoff hopes alive. So it's pretty much safe to say that whoever loses tonight is pretty much done.
Like it. So you're calling this a must win.
This a must win. I know we're early in the season, and you can't really quantify must win situations for team this early in the season. But yes, I am calling this a must win. I'm going out on a limb.
I like it. I like your moves. So we are actually, 13 days away from the end of the NBA regular season. It's almost over.
We get to real basketball again.
One more situation I want to take a look at with the bigs down low for Charlotte. Cody Zeller, Frank Kaminsky. Any interest in going there?
Cody Zeller, yes. Frank Kaminsky, yes.
Okay.
Neither one. Jokic, okay. There was a conversation going on Twitter last night between, you know, or maybe it was in Slack. between Nurkic and Jokic. Let me just go ahead and point this out. They are the exact same player, except that Yusuf Nurkic is very, very, very capable of being a defender. Nikola Jokic isn't really that great of a defender. I look at him more as a Hassan Whiteside type. If that's kind of a hot take, then I'm sorry. You really don't know me and me looking at things. But, yeah, I mean, I know DRPM can be misleading because Yusuf Nurkic is actually 14th. And they've got guys like Cody Zeller ranked ahead of him. But Nikola Jokic is at a 1.94 compared to Yusuf Nurkic's 2.53. So, yeah. I don't mind going to Cody Zeller here. He's cheap. He's going to play the minutes. I don't mind Frank here. Frank is more of a GPP type play just because his shot really has to fall. I really want to know what he did in this. There he is in this matchup a couple days ago or earlier. He did. It's not going to go back that far. But yeah, if he. He's taken double digit shots seven out of the last 10 games. One of those, he went 1 for 8 from beyond the arc. And 7 for 15 overall. So, if he shoots anywhere, if he takes double-digit shots and shoots anywhere around, 12 to 14 shots and actually gives you some rebounds and assists too, you're looking at a 30 as a ceiling. What is he on FanDuel? Because he's 5,100 on DraftKings.
Who's this, Frank?
Yeah.
54.
Yeah, okay. I don't mind it on either site then.
All right. Yeah, I think it's certainly a situation worth, diving into. I mean, look, just to go back to Nurkic real quick, we talked about him over the last couple, weeks since he's finally been getting meaningful playing time, that he is a capable defender, not exactly somebody that we should be attacking. But, Jokic, on the other hand,
you to fade Clint Capella last night.
Yes, and, he looks like a damn clown on stilts, but hey, we can take advantage of that.
Under his eyes. Have you ever noticed that? Like on TV, the way that it looks, and I don't think he has them in real life, but the way that the lighting comes across on TV, it looks like he's always godful awful tired and just sitting there with bags under his eyes.
I think it's his Russian complexion. Okay. Russian or whatever national. I don't know.
I can't argue with that because I don't know. I don't know what Russian complexion is.
I don't know either. I just made it up. But, again, if you sound convincing enough, it'll sound true. But Zeller's dropped two duds in a row, so I think that this would be the absolute perfect spot to go to him in GPPs.
He won't get over
10%. I don't know his Friday numbers, but when he goes off, it seems to be on a Friday. Just saying.
Man, you and Fridays.
I'm telling you.
Your intro song on Fridays should be Rebecca Black.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. All right, so, I'm done. That thing with Zeller right there, most people are probably going to shy away from him. This could be one of those nights. And we've seen it from him plenty of times. He's still getting the minutes. He just hasn't produced in the last two games. So this would be the perfect spot to go with him there. And I think Frank is a capable body in this game, just given the total and what the game means to both sides. I could see him having a pretty nice one here, too.
Yeah, I also don't mind Marvin Williams, who's got a who's going to have a higher floor tonight just because of the way that these teams play. It's going to be a little up in tempo, up in pace, but my sneaky play out of here is somebody that I really, really like. It's Nicholas Batum.
All right.
I think a lot of ownership is going to flock towards Kemba, and if you're fading Kemba, then I think you can go to Batum here. And you're going to get lower ownership. I wouldn't say you have the same ceiling, but you have would it be safe to say that you can get within 10 points as long as Kemba doesn't go for like 70?
Sure. And I believe you get a little more than $1,000 worth of savings on both sites as well. So.
Yep. So I don't mind it as a tournament move.
All right. All right. Let's get to the next one here. We have got the Indiana Pacers at the Toronto Raptors. Raptors 6-point favorites in this one. Money line a -240 with a total of 207. Raptors won the only meeting this season. That was a 25-point win in Toronto. And the Raptors are 11-4 against the Pacers in their last 15 meetings, have covered 9 of those 15 games. Pacers not good against the spread in tonight's situation. 8 games under 500 as the underdog, 12 games under 500 on the road they are against the spread this season. Let us begin. Let's start with the Raptors here since they're favored. We know DeMar DeRozan is, you know, he's going to be the straw stirring the drink for this Raptors team, but I want to talk about some of the complimentary pieces first. Corey Joseph, he's balled outrageous in the last two games. If we're talking FanDuel points, he's done 38.7 and 40.9 in the last two. I am certainly guilty of saying that latest performance, that was not going to happen. I thought the first one was a fluke, but look, he's got a great matchup again. Against these Pacers here, who just coughed up nearly 60 fantasy points to Mike Conley the other night. And how about my boy Jonas Valanciunas? You're my witness. I've been calling for this guy to ball out one of these days soon. He's had two great games here where he's put upwards of 6x value in the last two games in terms of FanDuel points, 28.6 in the last one. I'm sorry. He had 28.6 against the Pacers 12 days ago. His last two, though, I believe he hit nearly 30, and then the last game he hit for 40 FanDuel points. Both of these complimentary pieces have great matchups tonight. So, what do you think about them?
Corey Joseph, peace out.
Ooh. Okay.
We played you. We profited from you. Now we're out.
Okay.
There's just no way that I'm going to pay for somebody that's going to – that shot 57 and 60% from the field. I'm just not going to do it. Sure, and one of those was, you know, aided by 13 assists.
Likes to pass?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would like to pass too if I had DeMar DeRozan that was just going to sit there and take jumpers and drive to the hole all the time, but – anyways, yeah, it just those are outliers, and I don't mind, you know, you targeting them and getting the outlier when they're going to be sneaky. You know, we played Corey Joseph after the Kyle Lowry news came out, and he was putting up, you know, 25s, you know, he wasn't really showing any ceiling. All of a sudden, now in the last two games, bam, bam,
boom, boom,
and now everybody's going to jump on. Yeah, peace out. See ya.
All right. I like the reasoning. What about Jonas though? Because I guarantee more people will go to Corey Joseph, but I don't think anyone's ready to trust Valanciunas yet.
I mean, it's not that I don't trust him; I just can't play him today
because
center is absolutely freaking loaded.
Gotcha. Oh yes, there's some sort of revenge I keep hearing things about. But...
Oh, there's more than just one revenge. So okay. On FanDuel you have your revenge, but there's more.
Okay.
I mean, we just talked about one of them in Cody Zeller.
Very true. Any interest in DeRozan here for the Raptors?
What's his price on FanDuel?
Why do you have to ask me these hard questions? He is 9,200.
No. Not on FanDuel. On DraftKings, yes, he's 85. But, all right. I mean, you've got to understand and realize that you're getting a guy that, you know, if he gives you 5 rebounds and 3 assists, then you'll take that with the, you know, the 35 points that he's going to put up, you know, or 30. But understand that he can also give you 3 rebounds and 3 assists. And score you 30 points and still commit like 2 or 3 turnovers, and then you're sitting there at, you know, 38. So I don't know if all that math adds up right. So somebody that's listening could probably do it, but understand that there's no in between. You need him to contribute in the peripheral categories in order. And we talked about this earlier in the season, and then we kind of bought into it a little bit, and now he's kind of reverted back to his old ways. If you held a gun to my head, I would say no, don't play him. But I don't mind it. I see it. There is a ceiling there. and there is upside there. So
fair enough. What do you think about the Pacers here? They all pretty much fell off the side of a cliff against the Grizzlies in that last game. You had Jeff Teague, who played only 20 minutes. Miles Turner only played, I believe, 25, 26 minutes. George had a late come on there, which kind of salvaged the night a little bit. But any interest here against the Raptors on the road?
Paul George, Jeff Teague.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit of... maybe a splash or a sprinkle of Miles Turner.
Okay. I like the – since it's a Friday, we'll talk drinks. We'll call it a splash. One thing real quick, just with Jeff Teague and Miles Turner, just to back you up here on these points. Teague, before that game in Memphis on Wednesday, Teague had posted at least 37 FanDuel points in four of the five games, leading into Wednesday. Again, he goes against Corey Joseph, ranks 439th. Out of 461 NBA players in defensive real plus minus. That is one spot ahead of Buddy Hield, so good for you. And then Miles Turner, again, he was on a great streak before Wednesday. 7 of 8 games he had posted at least 30 FanDuel points.
Yeah, those are the only real, and it's like I said, sprinkle or splash of Miles Turner. We'll go splash. It's a splash of Miles Turner. And hoping that he doesn't fall into the ocean on his way to the arena. So I tried to make a splash joke and it didn't work. If he was in Orlando, I would have said something about Splash Mountain, but,
there's water parks all over the world. Come on.
Yeah, but not anything like Splash Mountain.
Okay.
It's just kind of one of those things. It's Paul George at his price right now, and the way he's been playing, he's been more aggressive. He's taking more shots. One thing that we do have to watch out for, and I say it, and people are going to laugh, we have to watch out for Lance Stephenson. They didn't bring this guy in on a 10-day contract. No. They signed him to a 3-year deal with the first 2 years guaranteed. They signed him back. Now, maybe he can, overtake and turn back the clock to his Indiana days. Those were his best days. We all know the LeBron meme where he's blowing in his ear in the playoffs. But
the meme Hall of Fame?
Yes, that is definitely. And now if GIFs were as prominent then as they are now, the GIF would be that GIF would have been all over the place. So, you've got options there. We need to see how he kind of gets integrated into it. It is a new coach. It's not Frank Vogel anymore. But I still think that, he's going to be a major contributor more than what people are thinking, because everybody likes to laugh at Lance Stephenson.
All right, let's get to this next game here. We've got the Philadelphia 76ers at the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs are favored by 10.5 here. No sign of the money line in this one. Yes, there is. I'm sorry. Minus 550, and we've got a total here at 217.5. Now, this is interesting, right? Because we got the Cavs on the back end of a back-to-back. We know what their CeeLo is, going into, all these back-end of back-to-back games. However, the Cavaliers need to right this ship sometime soon, because they are just basically a dead fish flopping around on land right now. They got to get a win. They have to. So, you do worry about the Cavs stars sitting. The good news about all this, though, is that we'll probably get word of this before lineup lock. 7:30 is the tip-off, so, there is that 30-minute window to be worried about. But I have a feeling we'll know beforehand. So I'm not going to stress out about it too much. If all these guys are in, I think they're a pretty good play against the Sixers. But I guess we should just spend more time on the Sixers in this instance.
I want to spend more time on the dead fish that's flopping on land.
Okay.
How is that possible?
Oh, I see what you're saying. The dead fish flop. Oh, so it should just be a fish flopping around on there.
Yeah, exactly. Because okay. a fish out of water or something. Yeah, yeah, you know?
Yeah. No,
but
I'm glad.
A dead fish flopping on land. I want to know how that's working out.
Yeah, you're right. It's like one of those fish on the thing, and you press the button and it dances and whatnot.
Oh, the Billy Badass fish or.
Yes, yes, yes. But no, I'm glad we had this talk because I've been saying it wrong for years, and
nobody's caught you till now. I'm surprised because that's what they kind of do.
See,
in New York.
You do listen to me, Keith. Thank you very much.
I do.
One thing I should point out in this matchup, the Cavaliers have won both meetings this season. However, both were in Philly and both were single digits. One was a 1-point win in Philly, the other a 4-point win, both in favor of the Cavaliers there. But one thing we should note here too, for the Sixers, we were talking about this before we hit the record button. So good against the spread. I have so much admiration for these teams that are good against the spread. Sixers 19-9 against the spread in their last 28 games. And 10-2 against the spread in their last 12 games against teams with a winning record. On the flip side, though, you know my love for Friday nights. The Cavaliers 21-10 against the spread on Friday nights over the last two seasons. All right, with the Sixers, I think T.J. McConnell is going to be great here. No more Sergio Rodriguez. Well, I shouldn't say no more Sergio Rodriguez, but he is out tonight, so that'll give T.J. McConnell another crack at the offense without him. That also puts guys like Nick Stauskas, possibly even a Timothy Luwuwu Kabiru, he's going to be
like
in play.
Line.
Yeah, yep. Justin Anderson's in play here too, but that all is due to the fact that Robert Covington is out. We've got Julia Okafor out for this one, so we got options. A lot of value options here.
We got options. Uh-huh. I guess we do have options. I'm not going to it could bite me in the ass, but on an 11 game slate, I'm not playing TJ McConnell.
Okay. If he's the one that beats you so bad, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty much something like that because
I know you.
His ownership is going to be what, 25%?
11 game slate?
He's going to be the most popular value play on the board at the point guard position.
Okay. Well, for good reason. I mean, at least 35 minutes the last two games, he's hitting his value numbers.
Yeah, but he's just hitting. That's the thing is he's just hitting value.
Yeah.
Like, on 11 game slate, I don't want my point guard to just hit value. I want my point guard to smash.
Well, let's look into the two matchups because number one, he had to face that vaunted Brooklyn defense, which has just been giving teams trouble all season long. And then, the second game was on the back end of a back to back, that one against the Hawks. So I'll give him a little bit of sympathy there, but,
No, I'm not saying no. His last couple games, I played him and he was great and fantastic. But you also got to take the slates into account, too. Those were, an eight-game slate and a six-game slate, That's fine. You're just kind of hoping to survive. I don't need that tonight because there's going to be enough of the off-the-wall plays that go bananas that we need – excuse me, we need good plays. And I don't think that TJ McConnell, even though he can hit value, I don't think that TJ McConnell is going to make up for the ownership numbers that he's going to carry tonight for tournaments for you.
By the way, good equals great.
I thought that equals fantastic, but...
Okay.
I thought good was great.
Okay, two goods is great. Three is fantastic. Fair enough. All right, what about some of these other options here? Any one in particular standing out?
How popular are these guys for Philly going to be?
I would try to think of something clever to say there, but I couldn't. So probably pretty popular. TLC, Stauskas, those are guys that are popping up. I love Rashawn Holmes. He he smashes the matchups that he's not supposed to, but the easy ones, he's a fish flopping around on land.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like this is a almost like a one-off, get in, get done, get out type thing. Okay. Go get you some TLC, or go get you some Dario Saric, and just get out and go. I think that's where I'm at right now with this.
Well, let's talk about the Cavs, because I think it'll make more sense when we're done talking about
this. No, nothing makes sense with the Cavaliers right now.
Well, here's the deal. They should smash the Sixers, right? Like,
we thought they were going to smash the Bulls.
Hey, they own them this season. They got their number. They got their damn number.
I understand that, but you look at without Dwayne Wade, you look at the talent that's on those teams. Like, it shouldn't have even been close. The Cavs just aren't playing good basketball right now, and with what we know from this matchup from earlier in the season when both teams were theoretically at better strength, you know, so the Cavs, they just aren't playing well right now. You've got with the 76ers, you got the emergence of Dario Saric. I know we've got Robert Covington that's going to be out, but you got TLC that's going to be there. You got Rashawn Holmes. God only knows the status of Jahlil Okafor and, you know, everything. But this seems like what is going to happen in the Cavaliers' world if they don't win tonight at home against the Sixers?
Complete anarchy in the streets of Cleveland.
Like, is the honeymoon over?
You would have to think so, right?
I tend to think it's about to get there. Like, Cleveland hadn't like actually celebrated a championship in God knows how many years, and now all of a sudden, like, they're, you know, it's like the oh my God, we're privileged, we're the best team and everything. Well, guys, you aren't playing like it. You are not playing like the defending world title holders. I don't know. It's very, very, very difficult for me to sit there and say, yes, Cleveland is going to roll, because we have not seen it. Now, do I have interest in Cavaliers? Yes. Mainly his name is Kevin Love, because God dang it, you owe me some freaking money.
Hey, what did he end up finishing with last night?
29. Wow. He fouled out. Like 9 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter.
What was the worst part, right? Where
the fact that he had 22 in the first, like, 13 minutes that he played?
Well, no, because I know he's in foul trouble. He comes in, I believe it was the first possession of the fourth quarter. He picks up the foul. Like he just went back in after sitting for forever. And then he goes back on the bench, and then he comes back in. And then the foul that he had to foul out, it was, you know, exactly what I was thinking. I forget who was announcing, but they said it perfectly. They're like, it's like he didn't even want to be in the game. You know, like, the foul that he had to foul out was just so ridiculous. Like, what are you thinking, Kevin Love? But, you know, I didn't have Kevin Love last night. I wanted to, but...
Oh, I did.
I'm glad I didn't.
I did. I had a ton of Kevin Love.
Could we just, like, see the LeBron takeover? I mean, no Covington to guard him. I guess Justin Anderson will be tasked with that tonight. Good luck. A little bit of TLC on LeBron. I'll take LeBron all day on that, and especially an angry one.
Oh, here we go. If I'm playing LeBron, I'm playing him on DraftKings where he's 10,000, not where he's 10,900. And I doubt I will, because we have others that we can go to. Like...
Ooh.
I don't know. It's definitely has that capabilities. You would think, right?
Like oh,
it,
yeah.
It kind of has the feeling that this could be a LeBron FU game, see all is right with the world type deal. But let's not forget, he can do it all himself, but he knows that that's not how he's going to win a championship. And make no mistake about it, right now in LeBron's career, he's all about the titles, baby. And he needs the titles. So that's why I've kind of been targeting Kyrie and Love. And, you know, I even don't mind J.R. Smith, who played 38 freaking minutes last night. You know, I've been targeting these guys because at some point these guys have to get going. And Kevin Love was like, he was playing great.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, don't forget that matchup, the matchup of power forwards against the Bulls, one of the best in the biz right now.
Oh, absolutely. That was tilting. And then Devin Booker almost doing the exact same damn thing. Except I think Devin Booker is not smart enough to understand that he just doesn't want to play. Because I think he just likes dominating right now. Which is exactly what he's been doing.
Indeed.
So, yeah. All right. I mean, is LeBron playable? Yes. Is he my favorite player of the slate? No. Is he the best possible option? Could he be the highest scorer at this position? Yeah. Could he not be? Yeah. It's kind of the... You know,
did you just answer every question? Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like what people feel about Russ. Oh, Russ got another triple-double? Okay. Oh, he scored the most points while recording a triple-double ever? Okay. You know, that's what it feels like with LeBron. Oh, he's going to put his team on his back? Oh, okay. But what, like, really, realistically, what is his, like, top-out goal? Or his top-out? Points 65 70.
We saw him hit 83 this season.
Okay, so that's an extreme outlier. You know, you go to Russ and his extreme outlier is 100. I don't think you can do it right now with both of them playing in the same game, but or on the same team, but you know, we've seen Boogie and Anthony Davis both flirt with 90. I think he's correctly priced. I don't know of any of the type of profit there. And I think against the Sixers, he's going to be highly owned.
Show enough. All right, let's get to our next matchup here. We got the Orlando Magic, the Boston Celtics. Celtics, 11-point favorites in this one, -800. On the money line, 218 is our total in this one. These two teams have met this season, and it has not gone so well for the Magic. They have lost by exactly 30 both times these two teams met this season. Magic, 6 games under 500 against the spread as the underdog, and they are 8-17 against the spread in their last 25 games, just waiting for the final game of the season. Boston, not that great against the spread at home or as the favorite this season, but they are 25-14 against the spread versus the Southeast Division over the last few seasons. All right, so that stands out to me, that the fact that, as it should, the fact that the Celtics have won both meetings by 30 points. Celtics at full strength right now. I mean, I don't think there's no reason that they can't do it again. My, oh, my. What are we trying to do here?
Because
there's obviously an issue, right, with the matchups here. There's obviously an issue here.
I'm game stacking this.
Okay.
Like, there's a couple different approaches I'm going to take today. One of them is to I will be making it to where instead of an 11-game slate, I'm narrowing down this slate in about, I would say, 75% of my lineup build.
Yeah.
And this game is definitely one of them. But I think that you can play Horford. I think that Avery Bradley is interesting. I think that Kelly Olynyk is interesting. Amir Johnson is interesting. I wonder how chalky Isaiah Thomas is going to be on an 11-game slate. Normally, we don't worry about a lot of ownership percentages, but when it comes to going with the cheat, well, Isaiah Thomas won't be chalky at all, unless people start to try to get cute and fade Westbrook. I think this is a perfect game stack, and you can include this one with about three or four others and just game stack it in like 15 different ways and hope that they all hit and maybe one or two of them go to overtime.
Okay.
And then you should be good. But I don't have any, you know, specific plays that that we really, really, really should have to worry about. The problem I have with this game is that we have two other games that we can go off of, and how many times does the third game end up like the previous two? It just this feels like that spot where, you know, people kind of gravitate towards, and you just end up kind of going, ugh, I wish I hadn't have invested so much. So I think you can game stack it, or you kind of just maybe play a player or two, like your Al Horford or your Avery Bradley, you know, and bring it back with like Alfred Payton and Nikola Vucevic, and then get out of it.
So, all right. I think a very interesting way to go here. You know, it might not come to fruition, but I think it's an interesting tournament game theory anyway, right? So, you know, I've talked about the Celtics just absolutely abusing the Magic this season. So what if this game gets so out of hand that the Magic go back to Bismack Biyombo? They want to get another look at him. I mean, he did crush a couple games ago. Actually, what was that? That was last game.
Oklahoma City, and we told everybody, told everybody what was gonna happen. That it, oh, they always play close, and they always even when we had Durant. I don't know what it is about Orlando.
Yeah, very true. Very true. So yeah, Biyombo, he did end up getting 20 minutes. He's been getting decent minutes here lately, so.
Problem is he can come in and get 20 minutes and foul out, or
yes, very true.
Or because he's, I guess theoretically is what you would call it. He's the enforcer, you know. Yes. He's
now here's my thinking here, right? Like, obviously you already talked about it. I know about it already, but there's a ton of good center plays, so. I probably wouldn't waste this play here on FanDuel since you only get one crack at the center position, but DraftKings where you need, I don't know what his price is over there, but where you need that extreme value over there, this is the kind of play I'd be thinking about. And probably in your $3-4 GPP, not, you know.
I guess I understand it. He's 4,500. So
never mind. What the hell, man? I thought he was going to be like 3,000 or something.
If you're wanting to go there, you might as well just play Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, basically. Aboard, off the beaches of Normandy. All right. Any interest, Alfred Payton? Every time we talk about the Celtics, we know best matchup in the game. Blah blah blah. Actually, Isaiah Thomas isn't a full point. The worst on ball defense. You know, he's not the worst on-ball defender by a full point in DRPM anymore. He's making steady improvements, everyone.
Wait, is he making improvements, or is the rest of the league just getting worse?
See? All of the above?
Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Okay. Good, good, good. All right, and of course, you know, if we're attacking Boston bigs, Vucevic's not a bad idea either. All right, let's get to our next game here. We've got the New York Knicks at the Miami Heat. Heat 10-point favorites in this one, -650 on the money line. 206.5 is our total. We actually just saw this matchup a couple days ago. The Heat whooped some tush in that game. The teams have split the season series. The Heat are actually 7-2 outright and against the spread versus the Knicks in their last 9 games. No shocker there since the Knicks suck, but 6 of the last 9 Heat-Knicks games have actually gone under the total. Derrick Rose, Carmelo Anthony, both game-time decisions in this one. Lance Thomas, questionable with a hip injury. The only Heat news here, Dion Waiters out with the back injury for them. I mean, look, again, we saw the matchup didn't really go so well for them. I believe the biggest point guy that night was James Johnson, right?
I believe so.
The neck tat in all his glory.
And we talked about him here.
Yes, yes.
Oh my goodness. It's just, I just kind of want to get out. Okay.
Okay.
Tyler Johnson.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or Josh Richardson. Which one? Like Josh Richardson's been more consistent, but Tyler Johnson's the better GPP play here, right?
Absolutely. I mean, his price keeps fluctuating up and down. I don't know what's up with that. You know he's going to get minutes, of course, with Waiters out of the line. For me, it's both of the Johnsons here. I mean, you know, let's not make a joke, but, you know, Tyler and James, both fantastic dollar-per-point plays.
You
I know
do
Tyler.
Love your Johnsons.
Indeed, indeed.
Sorry, I had to.
Johnsonville, we do sausage. You know, Tyler, he really hasn't, you know, been in top form lately, to steal a term from soccer, but we know he is, and if he's going to get back into it, why not against the Knicks when, you know, the Heat are favored by 10 points? I think James Johnson, too. These are the guys that I'm going to. I think, you know, Dragic might be a little too much money for, you know, 35 points, whatever you're going to get. You could try to get that from Tyler Johnson. And I don't mind that Josh Richardson play at all either. I have a feeling this could be a low ownership sort of game. People might shy away from the fact that, you know, the Heat are such favored by so much. And, you know, we don't really know what the Knicks situation is, so this could turn into a really ugly game. But again, both of those Johnsons off the bench, they can get it done.
Oh, I think we know what the Knicks situation is. I just think we're not at the point to admit it yet.
Oh, they suck. That I know. I'm just saying, Rose and Melo going to play? If they don't play, I think the Heat are just going to have a much easier time tonight. But
I don't think they play.
Good. Get off the court. Oh, man. Okay. All right.
I have interest in the guards here. I don't have interest in anybody else. Like, this game is simple for me. I'm waiting for Hassan Whiteside to be done with stitches. In his hand.
Late sides get stitches.
I'm not playing GHG. I don't know. He just doesn't look good right now. He looks lost at times. Like, literally, he looks lost. This feels like the perfect Kylo Quinn troll game. but he's going to – you'd think he'd be up on Kung Fu Master. And I don't – it's Dragic, Johnson, and Richardson. That sounds like a law firm.
Sure, sure. I don't think I'm ever going to be able to trust Kylo Quinn again, and it has nothing to do with basketball, but I caught an episode of Inside Stuff last weekend, and the man cut a New York slice of pizza into eight pieces. And he's from New York. It's a goddamn travesty, Keith. You don't do that.
Okay.
It's like putting ketchup on your steak. It's uncalled for.
My grandpa puts ketchup on his steak.
You can't be doing that. You gotta introduce him to the A1.
Oh, he puts A1 on it too. It just depends. It depends on his mood.
Little melted butter too. Not bad.
Oh, that goes in the baked potato.
It go both.
All right, we need to keep going because I'm getting hungry now. Damn it. I'm making this game simple. It's the guards and then I'm out. Like, besides James Johnson.
Hey, you know what? Donald Trump also puts ketchup on his steak, so I guess it's the new presidential move. All right, let's go to Detroit Pistons at the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks, 9.5-point favorites in this one. Minus 525 on the money line. Over under 199, that comes in as our second lowest total of the night. Remember, the Pistons are on the back end of a back-to-back. They beat the Nets. They beat them by four, technically. Hamilton hit a shot at the buzzer to make it look like a one-point game. But regardless, the Pistons are not in the best form lately. So that's why you see the Bucks as such heavy favorites here. The Bucks do lead the season series. Pistons grabbed the first one from them, but the Bucks came back strong in the next two. Pistons 0-7 against the spread on the road versus the Central Division this season. Not good. And they are seven games under 500 as well against the spread on the road. All right. The big news here, Malcolm Brogdon is going to be out tonight. I did not see the specific reason. Illness, I think, actually, now that I think about it. He's going to be out. John Henson is going to be out. Michael Beasley, questionable, though, for the Bucks. And then for the Pistons, Reggie Bullock, Reggie Jackson, both going to be, I guess, questionable, doubtful for this one. I think Reggie Jackson's probably done for the year, but we shall see. All right, so
Can we make this game real simple and easy?
Go for it.
On the Detroit side, they're on four games and five nights back in the back-to-back.
Yikes.
On the road. See ya! All right, Milwaukee.
Michael K., homage, go.
Yes. Oh, baseball season's almost here. Not playing them. Not only that, but KCP was arrested. Evidently, it was not last night after the game. Right. It was Wednesday night, which means the report was half wrong because it gave the correct information, then it gave the wrong information. So I don't know what the reporter was smoking, but evidently she or he fell asleep for a while. And then just realized and thought that, you know, everything kind of conjoined. But, yeah, I'm not – it's not like he was trashed. I mean, his BAC was exactly at the point of, you know, being considered drunk. It was at a 0.8 or a 0.08. So it's not like he was at
that's amateur hour.
You know, so it's not like – it was like he had a couple drinks – and they were fresh, and you got stopped at a roadblock, you know. It's literally kind of like, you know, the cops sitting up a roadblock, you know, like a block away from the bar, and there's only one way to go, and you have to go through there, and then just nailing people left and right. You know, that's kind of what it felt like. So it's not like that was, you know, he was trashed. And for being 3 o'clock in the morning, I applaud him for being on, I applaud him for being only, you know, 0.08.
Yeah, I guess he's kind of a responsible drunk where, yeah, he drinks water in between drinks. I certainly do not have that discipline, but you know, we're not here to talk about my habits.
No, neither one of us do. But yeah, as far as Detroit, I'm just not doing it. Milwaukee is Chris Middleton. Oh, maybe a little bit of Giannis, and all the Greg Monroe that we can stomach.
Yes, I'm so glad that you mentioned him. That was the other revenge that Keith was talking about earlier. So Monroe has faced off against the Pistons seven times. He's had at least He's had at least 33 FanDuel points in five of those seven games. The two that he didn't, he even got to at least 20, which isn't too bad. His last matchup against the Pistons, however, went for the most. That was 48.6. He's also got a 40, a 38, a 37 in the mix there.
Speak it!
Just likes playing the Pistons.
Speak it! Speak the gospel!
Now, Chris Middleton also has a pretty good history against the Pistons. In the five games prior to last, okay, we're talking FanDuel points here, 31, 26.6, 30.5, 40.5, 33.2, and then that last matchup against the Pistons, you'll see a 15.9 against the Pistons. I have this graphic in today's article, but the only reason for that was his third game back this season, so he only played 18 minutes, and that was at the point where the Bucks were trying to work him back into the rotation. If you look at the early download of the Domination Station, you'll see both Giannis and Middleton all over, plastered all over the lineups in this one. Detroit is just in a very bad way right now, and they can't seem to get out of their own way. They beat the Nets last game. Congratulations, fellas. But the Bucks are a much different team. They're just coming off a win in Boston. Milwaukee also fighting for this playoff spot. Vegas has preached the gospel already, folks. I've never seen them favored by this much. So typically when teams are favored by that much, there is a damn good reason for it. So I like the Bucks in this one, but I'm probably not going to go with Giannis. I'm probably going to go Middleton and possibly some Monroe. I wish Monroe was a power forward. That'd make things a lot easier on me.
Yeah, it would. You can play him on at DK because you got the you've got the abilities to do it. We got to be careful in Milwaukee here too, because they are on 3-4 as well. Ooh. So, but they are at home and they're not on the back end of a back to back, so it's not quite as bad. But anyways, you really do need to kind of be careful. This could be just it's Greg Monroe and then a splash of Middleton and a splash of Giannis, and then I'm out.
Good enough for me. Good enough for me. All right, let's get to one of the – actually the lowest total of the night here. We've got the Dallas Mavericks at the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies 4-point favorites here, minus 180 on the money line, and that lowest total, as I just mentioned, 192. In this one, big news here for the Grizzlies. Marcus Gasol and Jamichael Green are going to be out for this one. Still got Andrew Harrison questionable with the ankle injury. And then, of course, Chandler Parsons out for the season. For the Mavericks side of things, Salah Mejri is questionable in this one with the knee injury. All right. So, yeah, with Gasol and Jamichael Green out of the lineup, it's going to be another big Zach Randolph night. And I mentioned this in Slack earlier, but I was going to go with Randolph regardless of what I was actually kind of hoping Gasol and all these other guys were going to be in for the Grizzlies, because the last time that these two teams played, Zach Randolph came off the bench and posted a massive 41 FanDuel points against the Mavericks. I don't know if you guys remember, but I've been talking about bigs off the bench going up against Dallas for some time now. As I always refer back to that one of those Zach Randolph performances. That was the one right there. So now that he gets a full crack at this Mavericks team, he's going to be massive chalk once again. But the intriguing option here is Mike Conley, and I have a feeling people are going to go back to him since he posted the second best fantasy point total of his career. He had 59.8 DraftKings points, 55.6 FanDuel points on Wednesday. That was against the Pacers. Keep in mind, though, they were on the back end of a back-to-back, and Conley, going bananas with the usage in that game. However, we talk about point guards going up against the Mavericks pretty much all the time. It's not a profitable endeavor most of the time. I personally don't think it's because of rugged defense. I just think it's because they run the second slowest pace in the entire NBA. And it doesn't help either that the Grizzlies run the third slowest.
Yeah, I'm not playing Mike Conley. Not at all. Not even close. Don't even want to even Yeah, it's there's just no way. Brandon Wright's interesting, mainly because he's basically min price and same situation last game. He played 28 minutes. We were talking about him. I actually put him in some lineups, assuming that Jamichael Green was going to be out, and rolled the dice, and it paid off and worked. I'm going to have to get a gauge because I don't mind. We know I don't mind fading a $3,600 player if he's going to be massive chalk. And, I mean, he's $3,000 on DraftKings. So,
a shout.
It's going to depend.
Old man Vince still viable. 3,900 on FanDuel. Did post 31.6 against the Pacers last night. Appears everyone had a career night against against these guys. So
fade
no
Carter no interest after in old big man games.
Vince. What's up?
Fade Carter after big games.
Okay. And the game log does not lie. He posted a 38 back on March 11th, 3-11. 14.6 in the following game. But yep. The hard thing to fade about Carter is the fact that he's playing a ton of minutes, but if you look
but
at his
James
FanDuel...
James Enos fouled out in this game.
Well, I was going to say, if you look at his FanDuel point totals, it makes it an easier...
Yeah, Enos fouled out in this game, which is part of the reason why he got some extra run.
Gotcha.
He was in foul trouble all game, so that has maybe not everything to do with it, because we've seen Vince kind of, you know, showcase the fact that, you know, every once in a while he can still drink from the fountain of youth. But it does make a little bit of a difference, you know, those extra 5-6 minutes.
Sure.
You know.
Also, don't forget about Enos, who you just mentioned, at least 22 FanDuel points in two of his last three games. All right. Again, nothing from Dallas for you?
No.
All right. Fair enough. Don't have to wiggle my wrist on that one. All right, Sacramento Kings at the New Orleans Pelicans. 10.5-point favorites are the Pelicans in this one. -700 on the money line. Total, massive jump from 205.5 all the way up to 211. Good to know. We just got some news here on some Kings players. That all of them aren't playing tonight. It goes as follows. Ty Lawson is going to be out. And then Anthony Tolliver, Kosta Koufos, and Aaron Aflalo are all going to be out for the said Sacramento Kings. That should be good for a number of players, but we got to start in New Orleans because, there was a trade right after the All-Star game that you may have heard about. And now DeMarcus Cousins gets to take on his former team. He kind of went beast mode on the interview yesterday, basically saying, I'm just going to do everything I can to help my team win. But with that shit-eating grin on his face. So you got to think all these Pelicans are going to be feeding him the ball all night. And, you know, there's no reason not to have Boogie in your lineup unless you're trying to avoid massive ownership levels.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my take on Boogie. Yeah, you guys want a hot take? Full disclosure, I've got 50 lineups going tonight on DraftKings. He will be in over half of them. At least half of them. Let me put it that way. The other half, what you're hoping for, is that he just goes absolutely completely berserk, tries to kill somebody, or bus, or Anthony Davis just takes over. This is what you're hoping for.
Right.
Like, this is almost... the perfect, like, the only thing that can make this narrative even crazier is him going back to Sacramento. It's the only thing that would make this even better tonight.
Right.
So, yes, there is a little bit of game theory because everybody's going to be on it.
Uh-huh.
And it is 11 games. And we have given you... We have given you options at the center position. If you fade him, you hope that he doesn't go for 60 plus, 65 plus. Because I honestly think that there's probably only one other center on the board that could even remotely come close.
Have we mentioned him yet?
No.
Okay. I know who you speak of.
See. So that's what you're hoping for. I don't know if I see it happening. And you don't have to convince me a lot of times to fade Uber Chalk. And I'm finding, it would be very, 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 very difficult for me to completely fade him tonight. Or even not try to match the field. So.
Nah, and look, it makes sense. I even wrote in today's article that I said, if you're one of those narrative haters, then Anthony Davis is probably the perfect play for you tonight. But, I mean, I do have a feeling it's going to be sort of a force-feeding sort of thing to Boogie. Just because this is the first time he's going against the Kings. I'm sure, when this matchup happens again in the future, it won't be as much. But, there was legit turmoil there with Boogie and with Boogie and the Kings there. So that is, it's certainly an interesting aspect. You bring up a good point, though, to counter it, just with the massive ownership percentage that we're probably going to see with them tonight. Does he get to that 60? I think, the possibility of it is definitely over 50%.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree. And that's what I'm saying is it's almost got to be to that point to where if he's going to be as highly owned, because you gotta remember and understand, his ownership is probably going to be double or triple what Westbrook's is.
Mm-hmm.
If Boogie doesn't have a Westbrook-esque type game and go absolutely completely berserk, he does not hurt you at that ownership percentage. As long, now you there's a caveat to this, as long as you have a lower owned Russell Westbrook that outscores him and you have your center gets within 10 points of Boogie. No matter what Boogie gets, your center has to get within 10 points or beat him on the teams that you don't play him. And a guy like Russ or Harden or Giannis or Steph or, whoever has to go bananas as well. There's got to be two or three different things that happen in order for Boogie not to really, really kill you tonight.
You think there's a possibility you get to in a fist fight?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's a possibility that, he does decapitate somebody on the court. So, but we spent a lot of time on Boogie. We all know about that. Let's talk about the other revenge narrative.
Okay, Mr. Buddy.
Buddy Hield.
Buddy.
With
Buddy.
No Ty Lawson, with no half of the rest of the team. Yeah, you think Ben McLemore is going to get the shot attempts that he did in the last game?
That was uber tilting, by the way. I did not appreciate that because I had something good going on the late night, but Buddy was nowhere to be found, and McLemore just stole the damn show.
Because
at 1.1%
we talked the other day about it's not really a revenge game for Serge Ibaka because he only spent 50 games. Well, Serge is a known commodity in the NBA. Okay, this is the team that drafted Buddy. They drafted him sixth overall. And they didn't give him a lot of run. You don't think Buddy wants to stick it to him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm thinking about overweighting my Buddy exposure to DeMarcus, but I think that might be just getting too cute. The other player that you can play in this, well, now currently because Ty Lawson is out, is Darren Collison. Sure. But you can also play Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yes, I like that as well. Kind of not the homeless man's boogie. He's a middle class boogie.
Hey, he's a former top five pick as well.
I believe maybe I don't know if he was seventh or I don't know. I don't think he was top five, but
I thought he was four.
Very close. Very
close.
We've
had this discussion before, and we can't remember.
I believe so.
What are you doing with Anthony? Okay, so if we think that the DeMarcus Cousins ownership percentage, and I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out on a limb because he is cheap, I would say it's going to approach, you know, Harden-esque numbers at times. You know, like a 50% in tournaments, 75% to 80% in cash. Wouldn't the ultimate pivot just to be Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I think tonight it depends what you're doing. If you're multi-entering, sure, I like Anthony Davis. But you know the way that I roll, you know, one group of friends, then yeah, it's gonna be tough for me to place a ton of value in that, but we'll see what happens with the rest of the lineup. One guy that I'm kind of interested in here, Drew Holiday, who has sneakily, or I shouldn't even say sneakily, but quietly, he's been averaging 37 DraftKings points, 35 FanDuel points over the last seven games. He's been right there at 5X value, but you know what I find interesting, his like, you know, just nobody's really been talking about Drew Holiday. So I figured, hey, this might be a good spot. So I go and I look back and he's not posting double digit assists, which I found very strange. But tonight could be an interesting night to use him. Again, if they're going to force feed Boogie, I would assume Holiday gets an uptick in some assists. But I mean, you know, he's certainly not killing your lineup at all. But again, Pelicans favored by a lot, going up against the Kings, terrible defense. This could be an interesting spot to go with them.
Yeah. I'm not. I am going to be completely honest. I haven't seen him look comfortable since the Boogie trade. And to be honest, I don't think that he's going to be back with the Pelicans next year.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard for them to re-sign him and also get other pieces. I mean, you know, they have a capable point guard in Tim Frazier, so we've seen him put up some pretty decent games before.
Now, Tim Frazier's interesting.
Yeah. Shooting guards against the Kings.
Yeah, because he's a point guard on FanDuel, but he has been, you know, starting at the two. Actually, no, they moved him. He is now a shooting guard on FanDuel.
Nice.
I know he had a dud last game, but that was guards. The last two games against Dallas and Utah, guards. Oof. Yeah. So I don't mind going back to him in this. He will have lower ownership percentage.
For sure. All right. Let's get to our next game here. After that one, we've only got three games left, so making pretty good time here on the pod. Let's talk about the Wizards at the Jazz in this one. Jazz. 2.5 point favorites in this one, -140 on the money line, 206.5 is our total. Just got word early in the morning today that George Hill is going to be out for this game. Also going to have Derek Favors, Raul Neto questionable for the Jazz, and the Wizards are completely healthy. The Jazz did win the earlier meeting between these two teams this season. That was a 10-point win at the phone booth in D.C. No Hill. Sign me up for Rudy Gobert, Hayward, and Hood, please.
Yeah, exactly. also, okay, so here's your center. It's Rudy Gobert. If you fade Boogie on FanDuel, the only player that can get close, unless Greg Monroe somehow gets 30 magical minutes tonight, it's Rudy Gobert. He's the only one that can probably even realistically come close.
Sure. And by the way, keep in mind, last game did not was not needed to go bananas in that game. They had that game against the Kings well locked up. So you see a little dip in the points there to 34. I mean, you know, it's funny, too. We say, oh, yeah, he really didn't. Still had 16 and 15.
All he did was lower his price a little bit.
Yeah, I guess he just didn't feel like going and blocking any shots or anything. That's okay.
He didn't need to. They weren't making him.
Jesus. Why am I going to block him if you ain't going to
block
him?
Well, I mean, Sacramento's not a drive team anyways, you know.
Right.
So, Washington is, and okay, this is for you, Choi Boy, or sorry, Gabe. He had a very, very, very good point. We are normally not John Wall fans. Not in fantasy purposes, anyways. Just because...
He's my favorite point guard in the NBA, but not...
Now you're just trolling.
Well, not fantasy. I like him in real life.
Well, I like him in real life, too. But in fantasy, I'm talking about DFS. He's not our favorite point guard to usually go to. Because he's got a high price. He doesn't really have a... the profit potential with the ceiling that you want typically out of that high of a price with a point guard, you know, and okay, let's just get down to the nitty gritty. He's not Russell Westbrook. but you're getting Dante Exum, Shelvin Mack defense. You're getting him under 10K because he's priced down because of this matchup. And if there's one place that we really, really, really could say we can, maybe not with extreme confidence, but with a little bit of smidgen of confidence, attack Utah at, it's usually the point guard position. I'm not saying you go 60% on them. But he is a very, very, very interesting win-or-go-home play tonight.
Sure, sure. And the guy, look, the guy has posted three straight games of 60-plus fantasy points. 60!
Yeah, he'll never – he hasn't ever, I don't think, done that in his career.
The real points are phenomenal. 41, 34, 37 in the last three.
Well, that's because Bojan Bogdanovic can't hit a damn jumper.
Wow. You went there.
I'm just speaking the truth.
You don't have to be so mean to my ex-friend.
Hey, I love Bogey. But damn, he's struggling.
Yeah. Well, he does have a back injury. That, you know what happened?
Now I hear about this.
He sat out that game after the Nets. But after that game against the Nets when he went bananas for like 30 fantasy points – I guess he had a little bit of a back issue there. So, well, I had him that night, and he made me a lot of money. So, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. So, he shot a combined 4 for 12 from the field, and 1 for 6 from beyond the arc. Probably not going to go there either. As far as Washington is concerned, I mean. I don't think I can go with Bradley Beal either. I think it's Rodney Hood. I think you're going to go with John Wall, and I think you're going to get out.
All right. I got an interesting idea here. Now, I know what Utah we were talking about, you know, Gobert, Hayward, Hood, you know, all these guys tend to pop off when Hill's out of the lineup. Especially, I like Hayward a lot in this situation because when Hill's out, you're going to see – Hayward sort of take over the faux point guard duties. You know, like he might not bring the ball up, but he will handle the ball a lot more within the offense for Utah. But, you know, again, power forwards are what we can attack on the Wizards. So, you know, Favors is out. You know, they've kind of been piecing this together. But, again, it's particularly stretch fours that give them trouble. So Joe Johnson here could be a very interesting GPP play. You know, you're going to stick him in at small forward on FanDuel. I have no idea what his deal is on DraftKings.
Small forward, power forward.
Okay. You can even give them the power forward designation there if you want. Whatever the case is, but this is a very good spot for him to take advantage of. Again, Markieff Morris is just incredibly lazy. I think even old man ISO Joe can take advantage of this matchup. So that's something I want to take a look at Utah's last couple games. So look out for my analysis in the article today. But
can I give you a little bit of a sneak peek?
Sure.
A sneaky peek. He's on the list already.
Oh, all right. Well, then we're in good company. Yeah. So I'm going to do a little more digging, but I trust your opinion here, but I just want to take a look for myself.
I do have to kind of throw this out there. I don't know. Depending on what type of value, because not all value is good value.
Very true.
Okay. We have to watch out for Kelly Oubre. Maybe not for tonight. But the last 5 out of the last 6, he's played at least 24 minutes. He's doing it on the defensive end. He's doing it on he's actually shooting very well. He's starting to kind of settle into his role, and he's 3,300. He doesn't have to do a lot at 3,300, and I'm not recommending him for tonight, so I probably should have just shut my mouth.
Because rewind.
I'm going to get a ton of Kelly Oubre questions, but we do have to watch out for this because he is starting to get more, a little bit more run.
Okay. I wanted to bring this up too, just real quick, nothing to do with fantasy, but the NBA schedule makers have some sort of beef with the Washington Wizards because
kind of like Vegas does.
No, not like that, but like an actual beef with them, because if you'll remember, you know, the Wizards were just out on that West Coast road trip. What was that? I guess about two, three weeks ago, and then they sent them back home, and then all the way back out there again. So, yeah, way to go, NBA. All right, that'll do it for that game.
Yep.
Indeed. All right, let's talk about Keats, boys. They're hosting the Spurs tonight. Spurs, 2-point favorites in this one. -140 on the money line. 209 is our total in this game. Taj Gibson actually missed shoot around this morning. So that's with an illness. He's questionable for tonight. DeJounte Murray going to remain out for the Spurs. The teams have split the season series. Both teams won by double digits on their home court in this matchup. Russell Westbrook did have a pretty good game against the Spurs in that last meeting. Now I've got sort of what would Pop do? All right, so this is a WWPD segment here. I'm looking at the Western Conference playoff right now, okay, and the Memphis Grizzlies, like, if the playoffs ended today, the Memphis Grizzlies would be taking on the Spurs. I feel like the Grizzlies have given the Spurs a lot of trouble. Could you envision a scenario where the Spurs would rather see OKC than the Grizzlies?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, if the Spurs win tonight, that would put OKC a little closer to the 7th seed. So I sort of had an envision of, you know, this game really doesn't mean much for the Spurs. Not necessarily. Like, in terms of jumping up to the 1 seed, I think that the book is kind of closed on that with the way Golden State is playing right now. So
yeah, it's a 3.5 game lead.
I could see, you know, the Spurs really trying to win this game in order to force that first round matchup with OKC so that they avoid Memphis. Am I thinking too much, or is that right on the right path?
I think it's still kind of up in the air because of the fact that the Clippers, even though they, you know, they did win last night against Phoenix pretty handily, they're still not playing well. The Clippers have played 3 more games than the Thunder have.
Okay.
Which kind of makes up for the 2.5 game lead a little bit. So when it's all said and done, you know, the Thunder could still move into that 5 seed. I think the seeding, except for the 8 seed in the West, is pretty much almost set. I mean, Memphis can make a run at the 6. Oklahoma City can make a run at the 5. And the Clippers can make a run at the 4. But Oklahoma City getting the 4 is out of the question. I mean, that's a 3.5 game lead. Utah would have to go on a little bit of a slump here, and the Clippers would have to, I mean, there'd have to be a lot happening. So I can see it, but I can also just see Pop saying F this and, you know. Spurs play tomorrow?
No, they don't. I don't think anybody's on the front end. Tomorrow's a weird schedule, by the way.
There's only 2 games tomorrow.
I was going to say you got a 3:30. These are all Eastern, by the way. 3:30, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Rock.
Huh. Yeah, there's only 5 games tomorrow.
Yeah, actually, I'm sorry. Sacramento is on the front end of the front end. But, you know, they're Sacramento, so who gives a shit? And I should mention, too, here, you know, just because the Spurs want it to happen doesn't mean that it is actually going to happen. One thing, OKC has been very good at home this season. Actually, 27-10, you know, not so bad for a 6 seed. So, you know, you got to take that into account. And, I could go both ways on this where, I mentioned it at the beginning, but I'll just say it again, you know, where San Antonio could do A, you know, and try real hard and try to win this game, or they could do B and just, you know, not show OKC their hand for what could potentially be a first-round playoff matchup. I think you got to play out as is. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Now, will that happen? I have no idea, but.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. I mean, San Antonio just did suffer, like, one of their most embarrassing losses at home in a long time. I don't know. I don't really know what to expect out of this. I'm not playing anybody on San Antonio not named Kawhi Leonard. Unless Tony Parker's out, then I can play Patty Mills.
Not a LaMarcus Aldridge fan?
Not if Taj Gibson's playing. If he's not, then yes, absolutely.
Sure. I like him too.
But you only play Kawhi or Kawhi or LMA. You're not playing both of them in the same lineup.
Sure.
Because we've seen over the last couple of games, they directly affect each other. In a good way.
I'm not even really a big fan of Kawhi in this game, especially since he'll draw Roberson. And, you know, I'd rather allocate my money elsewhere. I think we got some pretty good value places tonight. So I think you can go up and get your guys like a Westbrook or a Harden or, whoever the hell, you know, you got to pay up for tonight. So I think
we'll get to Harden.
Anybody is affordable. What's your Westbrook analysis look like tonight? Ownership levels, all that sort of thing.
His ownership's going to be down. Your
exposure to him.
65-70%.
Okay.
He's going to be close to my max. And the only reason he's not higher is because it's an 11 game slate. If this was like a 7 game slate, he'd be at 80, 85, right. 90. I think I had him at 85% the other night against Orlando. It just, because it's 11 games, that's the only reason why it's going to go down to that 65-70 mark.
Lately, Westbrook has been, you know, doing everything he can to will this team. 4 straight triple-doubles, 5 out of the last 6 games he's triple-doubled. Probably even more than that. I just can't.
I don't want to bet against my boy, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say he does not triple-double tonight.
But I mean, he's cutting it close with a couple of these. I mean, 11 assists, 10 assists, 11 rebounds, 11 rebounds.
Yeah, he needed overtime. Is he okay? He needed overtime. Yeah, he's okay.
That's right.
He's fine. He needed overtime to get the actual triple-double, but he still had, I mean, he still had 70, what was it, 73 DraftKings points by the end of the regulation. And that three that he hit before Orlando could trap him, that was just, that was magical. That put the nail in the coffin for the MVP.
Good pun on that one. By the way, if that idiot, I forget who's taking the free throw, but if he makes the free throw, none of that happens. Just saying. But
that was Vucevic, I think.
I had Westbrook that night, and he made me money, so he's a friend in my book.
And how he's only 32% owned against the Orlando Magic.
Hey, he does cost a hefty dollar. And hey, look, I had trouble, you know, paying up for him at the beginning of the season, but I learned quickly. It takes, you know, it might take people a whole season to realize that he's a good idea. So keep that in mind.
Well, they're running out of time.
Yeah, sure. What do you think about maybe – I mean, we've been able to attack Spurs at the center position every now and again. No. So you're not – what? Oh, Enes, no. Again, Enes against Gasol.
No.
Enes against Gasol.
No.
What about Gasol against Enes?
No.
Okay. Now that awkward silence. Fair enough. Fair enough.
If Kawhi's out, yes.
Wow.
But not.
Didn't Enes have a pretty big game against the Spurs last time out?
Oh, now you're going to make me look.
Oh, the horror.
Yeah, but didn't some of that come in junk time? Because they had that game pretty much in hand.
He double-doubled. No block. He had 14 and 10, which is good for 24 for all you math majors out there.
Oh, let's see here. Box score, San Antonio Spurs. Yeah, they won by 10. They had that game pretty much in hand most of the game.
They did.
If you're wondering what happened to Kawhi that game.
He got bumped in the noggin.
He only played 27 minutes because he got hit in the head. He went through – that was the game that caused him to miss like three or four games because of concussions or whatever. He was in concussion protocol. I understand that Enes Kanter had a double-double. It was right there. It was – let's see here. Total points. 14 points and 10 rebounds. His price does not – what's his price on FanDuel? I'm looking DraftKings. What's this?
55.
DraftKings, yes, you can. He's 4,800. I did not know that before I said no. If he can give you the 25 to 27, but it would only be if Taj Gibson's out.
Okay.
That would be my caveat there. Now,
I'll take that apology, but you're okay.
I have to ask because he was just coming back off of injury, and it looked like this was the first game where he was really starting to feel comfortable again. Victor Oladipo.
Nope.
What if I told you he put up 24 and 4 or 24 and 3 last time?
I know. And again, shooting guards against the Spurs, it's worked at times this season, but 11 games, I'm not going to.
Because he's not going to get Danny Green. No, Danny Green's going to start on Westbrook, whether Kawhi's playing or not.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know what? It's tough to go to Oladipo just with the way that Westbrook's been going lately. I mean, he's just doing everything for the Thunder, so it's tough. Okay. It's tough to go that route.
I was just asking.
All right, let us get to the main event of the night. Houston Rockets at the Golden State Warriors. Warriors, 9.5-point favorites tonight, and that's 3 points up from the 6.5 that they were at the open. -525 on the money line. 231 is our total in this game. Of course, Kevin Durant out for the Rockets. You got Ryan Anderson out with the ankle injury. I believe Nene Hilario is going to sit out for this one.
Yes, and Montrezl Harrell is going to be back.
Montrezl Harrell is in. All right, so these are all good pieces of news here. And we've got Montrezl Harrell baby narrative, so keep that in mind. All right, and then I guess we'll list James Harden as questionable because I've got some thoughts on this one. So, Harden, you know, we saw it with the wrist and everything, right? He did take off the cast at the end of the game last night. He had the heating pads on his knees, kind of got trolled. We thought, you know, his night was over. He ends up, you know, trying to go Willis Reed. They actually almost won that game last night. The Blazers just took it away there in the last 2 minutes. But, yeah, it's funny because Harden's been asked time and time about all this rest that's going on in the NBA. And he said, you know, I don't want to rest. Like, I want to play. But the wrist injury seems to be a legitimate concern. So, you know, with the Rockets kind of, you know, comfortable in where their playoff spot is, I'm not saying that James Harden is going to rest, but it would not shock me to see him in limited minutes tonight.
Well, he played them in the minutes. Well, not really. They kind of managed his minutes a little bit last night. Look, he's shooting 32% from the field over the last two games, and that's since he re-injured his wrist injury. He had had the wrist kind of, you know, bothering him a little bit, but, you know, he had to take 30 shots to get 30 points. I mean, everybody makes fun of Russell Westbrook's efficiency and stuff like that at times, and you could pretty much say that was Westbrook-esque. He wasn't as aggressive. He shot 2 of 13 from beyond the arc. I'm 1 of 9 the game before against Golden State. I'm just not doing it. He's going to have Klay Thompson kind of shadowing him the whole game. And Klay's done a pretty good job over the last two games that they've played of kind of, I don't want to say shutting him down, but controlling him, containing him. Yeah, I'm not, I didn't play him a lot last night. I'm not going to play him at all tonight. He's getting the X button, and it has nothing to do with anything other than the wrist injury. If he hadn't have re-injured that wrist, against Oklahoma City, I would there, but I think that James Harden with the wrist injury on an 11 game slate is just a bad play at 12-2 on DraftKings.
Yeah, I was kind of a little bit skeptical of, I thought the news was kind of a bit much for the wrist, but you know, it did seem to bother him. It looked like at times last night. So
yeah, if you watch that, he was flexing it and rubbing it, and every time he came over to the sideline, they were putting some a heat wrap and an ice wrap on it, trying to keep it, you know, from swelling or loose or and yeah, it's. I hate to say it because I think he would be a fantastic contrarian tournament play, but mm-hmm. I think the total is going to draw ownership to him, and I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, and you know, with people making that mistake, I think we can really pick up on you know, some exposure to Houston in other ways. Because I think, you know, call me nuts, but I think that this could still be a very close game between these two teams.
Absolutely.
You're seeing now the one matchup that I think the Warriors can take advantage of all night is probably Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. I mean, we've got Draymond Green in a couple spots in the domination station so far today. But one of the big reasons for that is you're seeing Trevor Ariza play the four now while Ryan Anderson is out. That's put
Especially Gordon when Clint Capella gets into foul trouble.
Oh, yeah. So you've seen Eric Gordon go into the starting lineup. You know, that's an issue. That's why you're seeing Matt Barnes a couple places on the domination station today. That's a matchup that he can take advantage of. But I think we're going to see a lot of points. I think this Houston roster, they have enough guys there, like a Lou Williams, Eric Gordon, you know, Trevor Ariza. You probably see a couple more shots, a little more offensive attempts out of Patrick Beverley even tonight. So I think all those guys are going to work. I know Clint Capella is probably going to have a bigger role tonight, but no. I don't like him without James Harden because all of his offense works running that pick and roll with James Harden. So yes. Not a fan there.
Although James Harden can pass. But here's your – instead of going to Clint Capella – now, Capella did have a good game against him last time, but that was – you know, that had a lot to do – you know, that was in Houston. That had a lot to do with the things going on. But Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah. baby narrative.
Well, not only that, but we've talked about it a lot with Nene out of the lineup. Montrezl Harrell is the one that gets the immediate bump and boost. And I have zero issues, especially at min price, going to Montrezl Harrell tonight.
Yeah, and you got to think, too. So the Rockets, I believe this is their third and four nights?
Yes.
And, you know, Harrell hasn't played the first two of this set, so he should get a lot of run tonight. Just, you know, he's been sitting in a hospital room the last couple of days.
Yeah, this is their third and four nights back in the back-to-back.
Yeah, so I like him to get a lot of minutes here. I like that play. He's not, you know, literally minimum price on FanDuel. He's $3,900, but, you know, let's not get all technical about it. Still very cheap and a pretty good play tonight. Let's see
Lou
here.
Lou Williams.
Yeah, I love Lou. I love Lou. Sweet Lou. Now, this works out both ways, right? So if Harden's going to get the limited minutes and whatnot, you're going to see him in there. If the Warriors blow out the Rockets, you're going to see Lou Williams in there. I think you're going to see a lot of Lou regardless. So to be quite honest with you, I wouldn't even mind a combo of Lou and Eric Gordon at the shooting guard position tonight. Just the way that I think this game
Lou
is going to go.
Lou and Clay are better.
Okay. I can get down with that.
I thought you might. But,
I like Clay.
Oh, crap. I meant to click on his name.
I thought you might.
But yeah, okay, so Lou Williams, after going 7-for-8 against Oklahoma City, take that game out, okay? He is 0-for-3, 0-for-7, 0-for-9, 0-for-12, 17-23. Take the 7-for-8 out against Oklahoma City. He's 0 for his last 23 at the three-point line.
Ross.
I still like him.
Yeah, and I think a lot of other people will too.
Yeah, I think that will. I think he's – I'm not worried about the ownership in this game because I think that Montrezl Harrell's a sneaky enough play to where, you know, you can throw this into part of your game stacks with, you know, Sacramento, New Orleans, you know, Philly, Cleveland, Denver, Charlotte, Orlando, Boston, and kind of stack those five games and just kind of go from there.
I know, you know, Trevor Ariza will probably get Draymond Green.
Yes.
All right. So you like the quantity over quality there?
Yes. Because Trevor Ariza is not the same Trevor Ariza. I still want to know if I want to go back and watch that San Antonio film because I have a lot of interest in Draymond Green, but I'm not sure if I want to see if he's moving around like he was, because he was absolutely tearing Houston a new one before he had to go to the locker room with that sprained ankle.
Right.
And he came back and he still put up a pretty good performance. He's still under 8K, but I need to see. He had 7 turnovers against San Antonio, which, I mean, isn't shocking, but that's still a lot even for Draymond Green. So I want to see if he was – I want to see how he was moving in that game. So
fair enough.
Kind of watch out for that.
Yeah, Riga without Brian Anderson in the lineup has been playing ridiculous minutes, 37, 41, 37. And again, he's had at least 34 FanDuel points in all those games. Draymond, again, against Ariza, going to have that fantastic matchup, so look out for him, just as Keith mentioned. All right, that's going to do it for us on today's podcast. Kept it in a decent enough time. Once again, if you're not a member with us and you just like listening to these podcasts, there's a lot more to it, folks. Go to DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code podcast. Get yourself 20% off each month of your subscription. Comes out to $20 a month. With that, you get 24/7 access to the best DFS Slack chat in the business. You get Keith's Boomers Ballers cheat sheet, breaking down the position each day with the best plays. And sometimes the worst and why not to play them. You'll get a color-coded explanation on it. Updated projections from Taco, who, you know, just begun his golf. Look out for his stuff in the week coming up. We got the Masters coming up at the end of next week. That should be really fun. And then, of course, you're going to get access to that Domination Station. Creates 150 lineups for you if you can't do all that research throughout the day. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. And again, me and Keith, we're going to record the MLB podcast on Sunday night. So that should be ready for you guys then. I don't know if you're going to be able to do it, but I wouldn't mind doing it kind of not like late at night, but if like, you know, some people can listen to it on Sunday night.
It's Cameron's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, little KD.
Yes.
All right. So screw that notion. Whenever you're ready, then we will get to it.
So otherwise, you know, when we planned on having kids and stuff like that, and we were, you know, trying, we thought we worked it out
now
perfectly.
That's Keith and his wife.
Yes. Not me. Yes. Not us. Right. We thought we'd worked it out perfectly to miss opening day. Because, you know, me and my buddies down here, we make it a whole big, huge, you know, spectacle. We go to the bar and we hang out all day long and, you know, just watch all the games and stuff like that. So
you inspired me last year. I went to Buffalo Wild Wings.
There you go. We do that. So we wanted to miss that. And lo and behold, the Friday before opening day, my wife goes into labor and it's like, oh, okay, let's have some fun. So yes, the day before is his birthday, so we'll get to it as soon as we can.
Very cool, very cool. Once again, happy birthday to Luke KD, and yeah, we'll have that pop for you. And then it's gonna be kind of a crazy week, so we won't do a pod on Monday. We'll just, you know, you'll have the recording of it on Monday, and then, of course, we'll be back Tuesday with some NBA. So only one game on the NBA slate on Monday, so we're not bailing on you, folks. Don't worry. All right. For me, Keith, and the rest of the DFS Army, we gone.
Peace.